Which brings us...
You found a good one.
To agenda item number 14, a discussion on the artificial reef program. Mrs. Nelson. How are you doing today, Alicia?
So good afternoon, everyone. Those of you I haven't met, my name is Alicia Nelson. I work with the Fisheries Management Division. And one of the things I'm tasked with is coordinating our artificial reef program. I'm going to briefly go over about 40 years of history, so I'm going to buzz through that in just a few slides. But this program started in the 1970s when Virginia was awarded six of the Liberty ships that were made available along the coast. Those were cleaned and sunk at two of our Atlantic reef sites. And were completed by the late 70s. Sort of in the meantime, other locations were added to the program. A lot of these were developed by private groups, fishing clubs, and the like, and then transferred to the reef program as different requirements came with the Army Corps. Currently, we have Army Corps permits for 23 what they call fish havens. We call them artificial reef sites, 18 in the bay and 5 in the ocean. And here you see the distribution of all of our locations. So early on, there was a lot of different materials used that aren't used today. And one that we still get questions about occasionally is tires. Initially, tires, sort of pre-1990, it was considered a very good environmental thing to use tires as fish havens, as artificial reefs. Pretty soon, it was realized that wasn't the best idea, and there were wash-ups. We no longer use tires in the program. The ones that we did have were sort of mitigated by the reef staff at that time. And beaches were clean, things were recycled and disposed of properly. So pretty much by the 1990s, the entire process of using tires coastwide was halted, both because of these wash-ups and because now tires are more frequently recycled. Also used subway cars earlier in the program. In 2001, the New York City Transit Authority offered quite a few for state programs across the coast. Virginia received 150 that we deployed to our ocean sites. Still get reports that they are out there, breaking up a little bit, but they are still there. Engineered reef materials have also been used historically, and what that means is anything that is just constructed with the idea of becoming fish habitat. So it can be any shape or size, but engineered material is typically something made with the idea that you're going to get fouling, this is going to make a good house for a fish. We've had quite a few different types, quite a bit of tetrahedrons and different types of reef balls out there. Interestingly, the Girl Scouts of America put together a project to donate some at the Cabbage Patch not too long ago. There's also the Eternal Reef Program, and we've been contacted with them. They're expecting to do some Chesapeake Bay deployments. That is cremated remains in a reef ball. A lot of families are choosing that as an option, and we have a corner of one of our reef sites set aside for those reef balls. Right now, there's only one out. Engineered reef materials are great, but with our limitations on the program right now, they're probably going to be cost prohibitive moving forward unless we can receive donations. Other things that we've used historically and now are materials of opportunity, and that a lot of things can fall under that sort of definition. That's sort of anything out there that would make a good reef material, and it can be a number of things, bridge sections, pilings, in the past, tanks, as you see in the picture, vessels, barges. We get a lot of construction demolition or a lot of things like that pipe there that were miscast for their intended use, so they couldn't be used for that. So they're still clean, unused. We looked at them and thought they'd make great fish habitat. So program capabilities. At its peak, this program supported two full-time personnel and all the operational costs of the program. It was funded partially by Commonwealth Transportation Fund. It's been funded and still continues to be funded by our Virginia Saltwater Recreational Fishing Development Fund. That's our recreational license fund, so dollars from the sale of fishing licenses. And recently, also, as available, our federal sport fish restoration funds are used for sort of individual projects. Right now, we have no full-time dedicated staff members to the project. So we went from two full-time to no full-time. Our current project operates with three what we call part-time reef personnel. What I mean is that none of us no longer have our previous positions. We just sort of added this on as time permits and are sort of working with that new normal on how to do it sort of as a part-time operation. We do use two vessels. We still have the 25-foot Seahawk that is used to actually monitor the deployments. It does have a small cabin. And the 23-foot Maycraft for fisheries is also used. We still are supported by that license fund program, just not quite at the same level. So now what we're trying to do is develop this new normal for the program, knowing now that we have limited capabilities compared to the past. We've really been trying to figure out how do we move forward, how do we sort of get the best bang for our buck with the capabilities we have. And really what we're doing is relying on donations. Where this gets tricky is that we need both the material and the deployment costs. Because while somebody may have a vessel, somebody may have concrete, somebody called me from Texas the other day with, you know, all this concrete in a field somewhere. I'm like, that's great. But just adding up the cost of transferring, I think a couple hundred thousand tons, he has some massive structure in Texas, we don't have the material to get those here and deploy them. So that happens to us occasionally where when we have a donation, it needs to be all of the deployment costs. We can help with the things like permitting, observing, showing you where to put it, getting all of those details in place. We still have to monitor it, but we don't have the funding or the capabilities to go out and deploy it ourselves. Another way we sort of enhance what we have is we've been partnering a lot with law enforcement. So for things like staff time, getting somebody else out on the boat, sort of our second man on the boat, law enforcement's been really helpful. They've also helped us with things like imaging and getting out and verifying some locations. And we're also working to develop mechanisms for donations. And this is a little bit of a coastwide issue. New Jersey and Delaware have been doing the same with figuring out, you have a fishing club coming to you saying, we'd like to add more material to this reef and we want to donate the money to do so. Coming up with the right way to do that is not as straightforward as it may sound. And what other states have done, I think, is in the future going to be a good idea for us, is to have those private groups get together and choose what kind of material they'd like, and then the state sort of facilitate it. But the private group is the one that would actually be hiring the deployment company and that sort of thing. As well as for memorial reefs, not just like the Eternal Reef, but we do get contacted occasionally by a family saying, we have this old vessel, it's no longer useful. We'd really like to donate this, and you know, my late husband's name, my late father's name. We think that's a great idea, but it's the same issue of the deployment cost as well. So we're trying to come up with good guidelines to show here's the steps to make that happen. Unfortunately, a lot of those calls have been fiberglass vessels, which do not make great reef material. But we do have a line on a concrete one soon. So recent activities, since 2015 when we lost the positions for the program, we have had some activity. We had some leftover grant money, we had some new grant money, so we had two RFPs go out and were able to purchase concrete that covered seven reefs with at least 950 tons of material. And that was in combination with recreational license fund grants and federal sport fish grants. We've also had several loads of donated material, and I'll show you some pictures. Some of it's prettier than others, but we've had a couple different types. We've had armored cable from the Navy. We've had Coast Guard rocks, and that would be the big blocks that they use to tie down those buoys. They have pretty high standards for how often those need to be replaced. So when they have available rocks, a lot of times the cutter Frank Drew calls me and says, I'd like to go out and we'd like to place them. So we're happy to receive it. And the largest project we've had is the Lesnar Bridge. So our big project recently has been the bridge. I'm sure a lot of people have seen this or heard about it. It's been a long time coming. I know the original documents on this were probably 8 years ago. We are expecting up to 20,000 tons of material, so it's a really, really large deployment. And incidentally, Adam, I believe, went out yesterday and inspected probably our last load of material from this. So far to date, we have almost 17,000 tons already donated from that bridge project, which is pretty fantastic for us. And we're expecting at least the one more. And that's been going to two locations primarily. Most of it has gone to the Cabbage Patch, which is over here off Cape Charles and Kittipee, although we have put a few loads as well, call it Bluefish Rock, as weather permits. A lot of people ask us, why did that go there? A lot of people, residents in Virginia Beach, want to know, why isn't it at Ocean View? Well, we chose these locations based on the people donating it. So the contracting company was very uncomfortable with our Ocean View Reef site, which is right down here, because the flyway issues in the crane would have some issues with the local military base. So they were most comfortable with the Cabbage Patch and Bluefish Rock, given their proximity, the Coast Guard clearances, ease of getting there, that kind of thing. So that's why we chose those two sites. So I'm going to give you a quick rundown of exactly what this means. We keep saying we get stuff out there, but what does that mean for us? The first step is coming up with a detailed deployment plan. And that's really getting details on the materials, the expected tonnage, where we're going to go, and on my end of things, making sure the Army Corps is okay with it. This is where we put all those details in as far as what's environmentally acceptable, who's in trouble if there's a problem, those kind of things all go into that deployment plan. Once it's loaded, staff inspects the material before it can go out, and we have to inspect every load of material. I like these pictures because it shows the scale of this Lesnar Bridge material. That may not have been the highest. There might have been one other stack above that, I think, on that trip. So at inspection, what we're looking for is clean material as described in that deployment plan. So if they're going to be adding stuff on, we want to make sure that there's documentation. Or if there's things missing, we want to make sure it's documented. But the biggest thing is rebar. And this happens a lot as things get loaded, things break. So the number one thing we look for is usually to make sure that there's nothing really snaggly, nothing that needs to be cut off. So like the picture in green here. So these are just some pictures from a few of our inspections in the last few years. This is some of the purchased concrete pipe went out at a lot of the sites off the Eastern Shore. This is some of our less pretty material. This was a donation from a construction demolition project, that steel encased concrete that went to Bluefish Rock. More stuff from the Lesnar. These are actually pieces of footings. Incidentally, they tell us it takes 8 to 12 hours to cut through those footings with a diamond blade. It's pretty interesting to see, and they're very large. So after we get through that inspection, the next step is deployment. Our reef boat is on site for every deployment. They have to pretty much watch. They're on site before the barge gets there. They're setting them locations, either giving them GPS points or setting a buoy and watching them rig up every piece and get it in the water. Then periodically, he'll run the boat. Chris Williams does most of this for us. He'll run over and make sure that that clearance for the Coast Guard is as it should be. That's one of the pictures of a piece of McLean material going out. This is some of our Coast Guard rocks going in there. I think the next picture is a little bit better, so you can see some of the scale. I believe that's also at the Cabbage Patch. So every year we provide performance measures, and that's kind of how we judge the success of the program as best we can. And our performance measure is an annual goal of 6,300 tons. Now, historically, we haven't always been able to hit that year to year. Since 2015, sort of our new normal, like I said, for the program, first year we did pretty well. That was mostly with that purchased concrete. That was a lot of our sort of leftover grant money. 2016, we had a lot of delays. A lot of that was the Lesnar Bridge. For 2017, we've exceeded it. We're pretty happy about that. We'll see what 2018 brings. Next year, I'll let you know. Another thing we've been trying to do is sort of work with the capabilities we have, and we have some excellent IT staff that have been able to update our mapping. Our mapping previously was grid maps, very large core scale, wasn't super easy to find the material out there based on the grid maps. So these are interactive maps. This is just a screenshot, but you can actually move your cursor along the screen, pick the points you want, it'll give you the lat long, which is kind of nice. You can select separate reefs or zoom in on them. And we're building that. A lot of the reefs are built into the system, but we've still got a few more to go. And one thing I like about it is it gives you information. So as you click on each of those little boxes, that tells you what that specific deployment was. So you know that that was X amount of tonnage recently, or you know that it's 20 years old. So you have an idea of what you're looking for while you're out there. And what we're eventually adding is images. So images of what was on site when we inspected it, or what we're hoping is images from the down imager that was just installed on our vessel last week. So this is just a stock photo from the company. But we hope to have some really interesting shots of really what it looks like down there. I'm hoping we might even be able to see, you know, evidence of life down there as well, but we'll have to see. That's our hope, is to move forward and add images to a lot of these boxes. So another change to the program is the buoys. Unfortunately, buoys are very costly and very time-consuming to replace, so we are not able to continue that with our current capabilities. Previously, it was a three-year rotation, and it took up most of the time of one of those staff members. It's also very costly to do. They move and shift. We had a recent call from Ireland.
Galway.
Yes. So they do get around. And it's not just us. I will say it's a coast-wide problem. I want to say North Carolina estimated it was something like $150,000 a year to maintain the buoys. And so several of the Atlantic Coast states have decided that buoys sort of aren't worthwhile for the money. So to try to mitigate that a little bit, another thing, like I said, our nice IT staff have done for us is our...
Before you move on, buoys that break loose, you all remember Mike Meyer when he was running the reef program, I guess it was about 5 or 6 years ago. He had sent me an email that a freighter had identified one of our buoys, and Mike really was requesting permission to go and pick it up. And I said, well, where is that? And he said, it's the Azores. Needless to say, permission to travel was denied.
And I guess I'm not going to Ireland.
Sorry.
So to try to mitigate that, one really great thing we also have electronically is our VMRC maps. This is a little different than the VRC mobile app. You might have seen the card floating around. We have a VMRC maps app, and that just started this March. And a neat thing about this is it's not just artificial reefs. As you can see here on the picture on the left, it shows you a lot of our sort of mapping options here at the agency. But the button I'm always clicking is the artificial reef button. And it's nice because not only is it going to give you the same information that I just showed you that's on the web-based portal, but it also locates you within the reef. So I have actually been out on the vessel where our GPS was just doing wonky things. And so I pulled out my phone and was able to find the material probably better than I was with the GPS. So it actually locates you, which is that blue dot here on that screenshot, within the reef location. So it does help a little bit more for finding your spots. Can't say I've tested this on our Atlantic site, but doubt it will work as well, but a lot of our reef sites do get plenty of cell phone coverage. So our future plans moving forward, we're just going to continue to try to do what we can with what we have. We've got a couple different projects that we sort of heard wind of, haven't gotten anything details yet about bridge replacements and construction projects. We hear from Maryland too, it doesn't always come from Virginia. We have Reef Tech, which is modules built by the Oyster Company of Virginia. They're interested in making some donations. We hope to get those as well. And the Boy Scouts have recently contacted me about a 36-foot ferro cement boat that may be a good vessel to sink within the bay. They're hoping to do that for a Eagle Scout project to learn how to properly clean a vessel. So getting those guys in contact with the right people. So that's our plans moving forward, is to try to, you know, keep the course as far as getting donations, try to find out how to make those donations easier moving forward. So if you have any questions, I'm going to attempt to play this video while you have them. And this is just a little bit of drone footage of some of the Lesner Bridge material that went out by MAP Environmental. I will say our vessel is not ever in any of these shots. I promise we were there. But for some reason, they were able to edit us out of every single shot. And if anybody has any questions,
I'll note that the artificial reef program is one of the many functions that we do with success despite budget cuts, and it's been a tribute to the staff, to Adam, to Chris, to Alicia, that we've been as successful as we have, having exactly zero money for this at this point. Mr. Neal.
Some comments. Well, one of the whole reasons for having the saltwater license was to support this reef program. So we are supposed to have money for this, and the budgetary reality is that money's been siphoned away to other things. And so we'd like that money back, and someday maybe we'll get it. But in the meantime, the artificial reef program, along with the citation programs, are the two most popular things we do here as an agency for the recreational angling community. We love it. The other comment, buoys are nice, but they're not that important. And we all have chart plotters and stuff, and so we'd rather have stuff on the bottom than stuff on the surface. So, you know, if we ever had money for buoys and staff, that'd be great, but that's not that critical, because they always broke loose all the time anyway when you did have it. And the other thing is the artificial reef program is extremely important to us, and you should develop what you're doing is you're going back in time. I mean, that's how artificial reefs were done. The Triangle Reef was done basically through my fishing club, Tidewater Angling Reef, something, Artificial Reef, something, way back when it was done. So, I mean, so recreational anglers are willing to pony up money for this type of thing. And so we need, but we can't deal with the regulatory process. And so there needs to be a way for us to give money that goes directly to this type of thing. And so, so what you're trying to do is you should encourage you to do it. And that our next tournament might be for the artificial reef program instead of going to BIMS. BIMS is gone, right? So they may not get our next donation. If we can put it to concrete to go on the bottom, that would be very popular with anglers. So basically, good job for doing what you're doing. We'd like you to have more, and so that's our hope for the future. That's it.
Back to Mr. Neal. Any other comments, discussion, observations? Thank you very much. Keep up the good work, please.